Alex Abbott is Undead by Louise Austin, read by Robin Holdaway. This is the diary of Alex Abbott. Thursday, the 18th of January. Even though I've been a vampire for 3 months, 2 weeks and 1 day, Mum still drags me out of bed every morning to go to school. It hasn't got me out of doing homework either. You'd think she'd have some sympathy for her only child, what with me having tragically died and everything. Nope. I got one measly day off sick before she was all, "Alex, I hate seeing you mope about. It'll be good for you to carry on as normal." Hardly anyone knows I've become a vampire, and Mum says it should stay a secret, because people wouldn't understand. I haven't even told Archie or Mia, my two best friends, so I have to be careful to act like a normal, alive person who sleeps and eats and stuff, which can be tricky. I won't grow or change while my friends keep getting bigger. Soon, they'll all be riding the terror coaster while I'm stuck holding the bags. "We'll cope with it one day at a time," says Mum. But my last growth spurt was ages ago, which means I was already one of the smallest in my class, even though I turned 11 back in September. I'll be minuscule at secondary school, and that's only 8 months away. Dad's more worried about my emotional well-being. "You're repressing your feelings," he says. Dad's a psychologist, so he's really big on mental health. Sounds good, right? Well, it's not, because he's making me fill this whole diary. I expressed some very strong feelings about having to do extra work just because I died. Surely I've been through enough, but apparently I need quiet activities now. I no longer need to sleep. "What about gaming?" I suggested helpfully, but he was having none of it. He pushed his glasses right up to the top of his nose so I could tell he meant business. "Alex, you need to process your trauma, and journaling can be a really healing way of doing that." Yawn. I can still do most of the stuff I did when I was alive, and I faced what I can't do. Admitted it's agony to see hot, crispy chips or towering ice cream sundaes knowing I can't eat them. And it's lonely wandering about at night now I don't sleep. But I can't bear even trying to put the whole enormous, horrible truth into words. How scared I am about Mia and Archie growing up and leaving me behind. They'll grow up and drive cars and get jobs, have families. One day, their kids will look older than me. Then one day, they'll be gone. While I'm stuck like this, between life and death, forever, alone. Just me and Big Pup, and he's already old and faded from being cuddled to sleep every night when I was small. No amount of journaling will make everything okay. But I can't tell anyone what happened, so I might as well write about it. 3 months, 2 weeks, and 1 day ago. It was a Tuesday break time. Mum had given me one of the chocolate chip snack bars because she'd run out of the healthy ones the school recommends, which was lucky, as it was the last proper food I ever ate. A bunch of us were playing dodgeball, and Jessica King heard us laughing. Green eyes fixed on our fun, she stalked over, orb and bunches bouncing.
"Hi guys, can I play too?" she asked with a flutter of her eyelashes.
"It's Zach's ball, so it's up to him," said Archie. He loves a playground rule.
"That's okay with you, right, Zach?" she said, snatching the ball before he could answer.
Zach took a step back. Jessica King's about half his size, but he knows when to surrender.
Sure, I guess," he mumbled.
Jessica King has to win, so as soon as the game stopped going her way, she chucked Zach's brand new ball over the fence.
"Oops," she said with a little giggle. "Zach, I'm so sorry."
Zach loved that ball. Hot anger rose from the pit of my stomach until my cheeks started to burn.